We're going to have our Bible reading, which is from Jonah chapter 1.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went abroad and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How do you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us that we will not part, so we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you."
So over the summer, we're kind of looking at a little series of stories by the sea, and this is another kind of story by the sea, although we're moving out of the summer, and this is the beginning of a short series on the book of Jonah, which is an amazing book. Many of us will probably know it pretty well. Others might know a little bit, but hopefully by the end of it, we'll know it even better. Jonah is one of those minor prophets in the Bible. There are major prophets and minor prophets. The only reason a minor prophet is a minor prophet is because the book is a little book, a short book. And the major prophet's a major prophet because it's a long book. So there are 16 prophetic books in the Bible. 12 of them are minor. 4 of them are major. The books begin with Isaiah and finish in Malachi, which is the very last book in the Old Testament. And so those major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And the rest are minor prophets, including Jonah. If you've got your Bible open, you'll see that it's just 2 pages. It's not very long at all. You could all do it in one sitting. 48 verses. 48 short verses. But this minor prophet has got a major message for us. A message about God's grace. About God's pursuing his people. And really a message about God's perspective on the world and what our worldview should be. We look at this amazing little book. So verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. You could very easily just breeze over that phrase. But look what it says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. From the very first page of the Bible, we encounter a God who speaks. Isn't that amazing? A God who speaks right from Genesis chapter 1. Before he speaks in those first couple of verses, the earth that we live in darkness. It is formless. It is void. There is nothing here. But what brings something here is God speaking. And God said. And he doesn't need to say a whole lot for things to happen, because when God speaks, things happen. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And each act of creation through the book of Genesis, every act of creation is prefixed, preceded by the words, "And God said." Nothing happens unless God speaks. And God says. And God says. The equivalent of Genesis chapter 1 in the New Testament is John chapter 1. "Hey, Jenny, how are you? You're looking lovely. Yeah, you wanted to see me, didn't you?
I know.
I hope you're listening. So John chapter 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word. This is a Word-based universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So it's talking about existence. How do you get from nothing to something? How do you get from nothing to something? And the way you do it is by God speaking. Everything created is by God speaking. It is a word-centered universe. And throughout the Bible, as we read it, and we see Israel's history over and over again as we work through those historical books, we see God speaking through ordinary people into the life of a nation. God speaks. We call them the prophets. Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jonah. Does God still speak today? And how does he do that? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Does God still speak today? Well, of course, yes, he does. Primarily through his word that we're looking at. It's a really important, important thing. Nothing greater than this. God speaks through his word. But we have to train our ear to hear God. Do you remember back in the Old Testament, there was little Samuel. He went to the temple. He was taken in by Eli, the priest. And one night, Samuel was sleeping or in bed, and he heard a voice saying, Samuel, Samuel, and he thought it was Eli, so he ran to Eli, and Eli says, oh, go back to sleep. And again, he heard a voice saying, Samuel, Samuel. He went to Eli, and you know the story. Eventually, Eli realized, this is God speaking. He hadn't initially realized that, and certainly Samuel didn't, but Eli's job was to help Samuel recognize the voice of God. And that's what we do in church. We're helping or learning to recognize the voice of God when he speaks. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. But God speaks in many ways. He speaks as we pray. Sometimes we just talk and not listen. But God speaks to us in prayer. God speaks to us through other people. God speaks to us through the wonders of creation. I've got a couple of brilliant pictures. I thought they were brilliant. I took them. This was up in Port Rush when I was up at that New Horizon conference. And the sun was beginning to set. And look at the colors. It doesn't really come out in this, but it was completely vibrant. We could have just stood there and looked forever. It was so red. And that psalm that I read at the beginning, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. God speaks in many ways. And as I was reflecting on God speaking, I was thinking about how he spoke to me to bring me into this line of work. Because as you know, I used to be in the motor business. And one day I read the Bible after praying and talking and doing so many things and just desperate to hear a word from God. And this particular summer in August, I opened the Bible at random. It fell open at Deuteronomy chapter 30. And the first words that I heard was God speaking to me. And he said this, now what I'm commanding you to do today is not too difficult for you. That really shook me. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it? Or proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it? And proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart so that you may obey it. When I read that, it shook me. It unsettled me. It thrilled me, but it frightened the life out of me. Where was God taking me to? This is the next part of the journey. But it began, now what I'm commanding, so. So I wonder how Jonah felt when the word of the Lord came to him. And this is what the Lord said, verse 2. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Because its wickedness has come up before me. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Jonah didn't want to hear this, and he certainly didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go and preach in Nineveh. This was Israel's enemy. These Assyrians were cruel, cruel people. And he knew, Jonah knew, that if he went and preached this message, that the God of grace would probably forgive them if they repented. And that was the last thing that Jonah wanted. Because he knew that that's what God does. Doesn't matter how bad a people are, if they repent, he will forgive. God has said this through Jeremiah, Jeremiah 18. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. So God is essentially saying to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, preach to them, and I'm going to show them mercy. But Jonah doesn't want, that's a great tune. But Jonah doesn't want to hear this. Jonah does not want God to forgive these people. Jonah wants that God to give those people what they deserve. And they were a cruel nation, an enemy of Israel. But Jonah knows that if he goes and preaches, the chances are they're going to repent, God's going to forgive them, they're going to prosper, and that might be bad news for Israel. So Jonah did not want to hear this message. Not everything that God tells us is easy. Not everything that God tells us is welcome. But God can see a big picture, and he asks us to trust him. God wants us to trust his word and let it do its work in our lives to transform us. He challenges us with his word to grapple with it and to wrestle with it and to let it shape and mold our minds and our lives. When I heard God speak through that Deuteronomy passage, I prayed. And what I basically told God was, I'm scared stiff, but I'm willing to do what you want me to do. But what did Jonah do? Verse 3. Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. The Lord wanted him to go to Nineveh, there's a little slide, which was 550 miles up that way, northeast. But instead, Jonah decided to go to Joppa, get on a ship to Tarshish in southern Spain, to go directly in the opposite direction. God says, I want you to go here, and Jonah made a run for it that direction. Isn't that amazing? He tried to flee from God. So Jonah goes to Joppa, which is modern Jaffa, maybe you've been there, and heads out into the Mediterranean. He tried to run from the Lord, but of course he knew that it is impossible to run from the Lord. Someone had tried that back in Genesis, Adam and Eve. They tried to hide from God, but that was crazy too. And Jonah knew that it was futile, because he would know Psalm 139, which says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. He fled from the presence of the Lord. The Hebrew word for presence is the same word as face. He fled from the face of the Lord. And prophets stood in the presence of the Lord. Elijah did. Moses did. They talked with God face to face as with a friend. But he tried to flee from the face of the Lord. And again, as I reflect on that, I could say that if I don't stand in the presence of the Lord, I have got nothing to give to you. And if we don't stand in the presence of the Lord, we have nothing to say to the world. And yet the world needs the good news. The world needs a church that looks like it stands in the presence of the Lord. We stand in the presence of the world every day. It's just in our face. And so it's easy to become like the world. But when we stand before God, He shapes us, He molds us, and we become like Him. Jonah ran away. But you know, God wasn't about to give up on Jonah. God could have said, okay, I'll send someone else, someone who's a bit more cooperative. But no, He pursued Jonah, because this is a story not just about God being gracious to a nation or to the city of Nineveh. This is a story about God being gracious to an individual like Jonah. They're both running from God, and God is pursuing them both. Are you running away from God? You can run away from God and not even realize it. There's always a ship going to Tarshish to take us away in the opposite direction. Many things can get in the way. Distance us from God. Our busyness, our work, our strengths, our weaknesses. We can be distanced from God by being very, very bad. And we can be distanced from God by being very, very good and thinking we're okay. There's always a ship going to Tarshish. But God is a God of grace who pursues us. Isn't that brilliant? Many commentators contrast the word in verse 2, arise, which actually isn't in the NIV. It just simply says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to Nineveh. But in the language in Hebrew it says, the Lord, word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, arise, or get up and go to Nineveh. So many of the commentators take this word arise or get up and contrast it with the things that Jonah chose to do. Instead of getting up, of arising, Jonah chose to go down to Joppa. He chose to board a ship and go down below the deck and to lie down to fall asleep and eventually to go to the depths, to go down to the depths of the sea. God wants to lift him up. Jonah chooses to go down. And that's like us too. Our sin constantly wants to drag us down. And God constantly wants to lift us up. And just like that lovely story of Jesus who healed the daughter of Jairus, who was only 12 and she had died. And he said to her, Talitha cum, little girl, get up. And that is what he says to us too. Verse 4, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Here's a huge storm. Even these experienced sailors are frightened to death. And Jonah is sleeping. But this isn't simply a sleep of being tired, for he is completely worn out by the struggle of fleeing from God. It's like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane before Jesus died. When Jesus came back from prayer, he went to his disciples and he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Jonah was sleeping. Because running away from God is exhausting. Zechariah chapter 1 says this, return to me, and I will return to you. Do you feel like you're distant from God, whether you run away deliberately or not? Do you feel that your religion, your Christianity is a bit of a facade? Do you feel fruitless, powerless? Have you lost the glory of God, the wonder of Him? Do you feel backslidden? But if we do, as the Lord says, return to me and I will return to you. It's like that lovely picture of the prodigal son. Do you remember him? He went and took his inheritance and spent it in wild living. It was great while it lasted. But very soon, he came to his senses and realized, this is crazy. But to get from the realizing it's crazy to actually making his way back home again takes a bit of courage, doesn't it? But he did. He walked home. But his dad had been looking for him every day, looking out that window, watching for him coming back, hoping and praying that he would return. And suddenly he sees a son who was broken and tired and weary, walking along that road. And what does the father do? He runs to him. That's a picture of our God. When we take a step in his direction, he runs to us. Not reluctantly. And he embraced his son, and he put a new robe on him, and shoes at his feet, and a ring on his finger, and held a party. So if we too are distant from God, if we are running from him, the Father opens its arms and embraces us and says, return to me, and I will return to you. Know the joy of your salvation. Let's party. Let's not waste our lives this way. Let's have fullness of life this way. This is the beautiful story of Jonah. And we're going to continue looking at God's graciousness to him, for God is gracious to him. This runaway prophet. But God is good.